Guys, welcome back to the Gootscast. Andrew Lee has returned. COVID, it may not be over, but we're going to pretend it's over because the fans are back. How you doing, Andrew?
Did you hear the news about what's happening in the Olympics?
Yeah, like what? No, tell me again.
Oh, okay. This is really, I think this is really interesting. So they found two people from Uganda tested positive for COVID, yeah. Right? One was one of the athletes. The other one was, I think he was, I don't know, with the Ugandans, but he's from Uganda. He also tested positive. And then one of the Ugandan, I believe, weightlifters who, you know, he came to Japan for trials and then he didn't pass. Like, you know, like to qualify, like mm-hmm. they were doing more qualifications in Japan. He didn't win. He didn't pass. He came in like 14th place or something like that. So he has to go back to Uganda. He skipped the plane ride and he just bounced. And he wrote a note saying, I'm staying in Japan because it's hard to make a living in my country. So he's just in Japan. They're trying to find him because...
spreading COVID.
Well, yeah, they don't know if he has COVID or not, right? Exactly. But two people from Uganda already had COVID. They passed the positive. So this guy's somewhere in Japan and they can't find him. It's like, the craziest thing. He might be one of the guys who has COVID too. We don't. Nobody knows,
dude. It's, like this whole thing has just been a disaster.
It sounds like a made up story.
I predict, not because of anything Vince does, I predict we'll be back in the Thunderdome before the end of the year.
There is a very good chance that come fall or winter, we go back to kind of like how we were last fall and winter. Maybe not as severe, but in some point,
wrestling's right? Gonna lose the crowds before the year is over. I predict
that's possible. That's possible.
They're back for now.
They're back for now.
This was a very weird episode. I'll tell you why. Because in my head, since day one of this whole pandemic, I thought the Raw with the crowds would kind of be a reset. Like the Raw after they defeated WCW was a reset. Like they resetted all the storylines mm-hmm. and all the characters. And I thought they would do that, especially when Roman Reigns was out and was freaking out about his health. I thought the Raw back, Becky Lynch would come out, Roman would come out, and they kind of just be like, okay, fuck everything. All those storylines and stuff we were doing were just because we were in an empty arena. Now here's the real shit. And this didn't feel like that. This kind of felt like a continuation of the garbage we've been watching for months. The only real new thing was John Cena.
Well, I'm kind of glad they didn't do like a reset.
Everything's been so bad though.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of continuity.
Well, you can do a reset while respecting continuity. There's a way to do that.
Yeah, it's possible, but I like that they kept the continuity going and you're right. It was a lot of this was continuation of the storylines they were already doing, mm-hmm. but I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was an enjoyable Raw. I personally enjoyed it. I don't know.
There's moments that I really like, but yeah. They infuriated everyone else. But there was stuff I liked. Then there was stuff I fucking hated. But people online were not happy with this Raw. I'll tell you that much.
Really? Already? That's only been like 10 minutes.
I was looking at Twitter the whole night.
Oh. Well, I will say this. Actually, let's just get into it. We'll go into it from the beginning.
And so this is a live. I liked and what I didn't like.
Yeah. Live, Raw is live, coming to us from Dallas, Texas. It looks like it's a sold-out crowd. There's like shitloads of people on top of each other.
I don't know if it's sold out because last night John Cena cut a promo on the WWE on Twitter. He was like, you can still get tickets. Come on out and see me open Raw. So I don't know. So
it probably wasn't sold out, but it looks like it was close to sold out. I mean, it was a shitload of people there. And John Cena comes out. Obviously, there's like a whole brand new setup. I personally think it's a cool looking setup. He came out with a big pop, but while he's in the ring, little mixed reactions, which he calls out, which is fine. He calls out Roman Reigns, says he's going after him at SummerSlam, and he goes, I'm going after him because he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. I think they blurted it out, right? They muted him, but you know he said asshole.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, the crowd was shitting asshole afterwards.
You know what's really funny? As soon as he said asshole, did you catch that they they went straight to a little kid. Did you see that? That was like the weirdest thing. I was like, why did they? Yeah, they're showing you that he's an asshole while there's kids in the crowd. And then Matt Riddle comes out. They do this whole bro session, and then John Cena leaves. What did you think about this whole John Cena thing?
I thought it was great. It reminded me of, even though I hate it, it reminded me of like 10 years ago, 5 years, no, not even 5 years. He wasn't even around that much 5 years ago. 6, 7 years ago. I thought it was a hot start to Raw. It was a smart thing to do. They needed him to kick off Raw. It felt special. Nothing else. There's not a lot on this show felt special. This felt special. It felt like the old days. It felt like the pandemic was behind us, even though it's not. I enjoyed
it. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was great. Yeah. I thought it was great. And it was simple to the point. Roman's an asshole. And I thought they're going to have Roman come out and cut a fucking promo. I'm glad they're waiting for SmackDown. This is clearly the B show, by the way.
Yes. He is going to be on SmackDown. He did mention that.
It's a show now. Yeah.
He has got the ugliest t-shirts. John Cena does.
I know. I still like them.
They're so ugly. He's got. They're just so ugly.
Dude, people were buying them all night last night.
Oh my god, dude! There were so many people wearing that ugly green shirt tonight.
Yeah, a ton of people.
Everybody was wearing it, and I was like, I always thought his shirts were super ugly.
I like the shirts. I have a bunch of them.
I wonder if like 20 years from now, like, people look back at it and be like, these shirts are actually look really cool. Because that could happen. That happens all the time.
No, yeah, people already have nostalgia for his shirts. When I wear I don't wear a lot of my older ones because I got them really big and I lost weight. But when I do wear some of them, people I still wear the shirt he was wearing when he lost to Punk. He was wearing green 10 years ago. So
he wears just basically every color, just like bold, just the whole thing.
The Rock said he looks like a bowl of Fruit Loops.
Yeah. It's just too much color, but it was still a fun segment. Great way to open the show. It's going to lead right into our first match: Matt Riddle and the Viking Raiders versus AJ Styles, Almost, and John Morrison. The finish comes when Matt Riddle grabs one of the Miz's in the wheelchair in ringside. He's got one of those things that he shoots water at people. And John Morrison is referring to himself now as the America's Most Wanted, which I think is kind of clever. But anyway, Riddle grabs the thing, sprays Almost in the back, then tosses that little spray thing back to Miz. Almost turns around, thinks it's Miz. AJ Styles is trying to John Morrison is trying to get between it. He almost grabs Morrison, throws him in the ring. AJ Styles is trying to play peacemaker, but because of the distraction, it allows the Viking Raiders to hit the Viking Express on John Morrison for Matt Riddle and the Viking Raiders to win. Decent opener, just whatever it is.
I liked it. It was a fun kind of it was a fun match. It was fun. It was just like, I like matches like this that just show off everyone's abilities and gets the baby faces over. And I enjoyed this opener.
Yeah, it was, you're right. It's just a fun way to open up the show. Everybody's in there, you know.
And they're keeping the Viking Raiders in, I thought after last night they were going to forget about the Viking Raiders, but they're keeping them around. They're keeping them like, okay, we're not going to give up on these guys yet. I liked it. Better than what they were doing last year, that's for sure.
Yep. Then we get a close-up of Jackson Riker's face because he's a baby face now, guys. And he says, wait till you see what I do to Elias tonight. And it is going to lead to our second match. It is the Symphony of Destruction match. I believe this is the second one, right? The first one they had.
Yeah, the first one with Braun Strowman, which was great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Third one. Jeff Hardy and him had one.
Hardy, that's right. Yeah. It's the third one. Elias and Riker in a Symphony of Destruction match. They're just beating the crap out of each other. There's this really funny part where, and at least I thought it was funny. Jackson Riker picks up a cello. Who picked up? I think Elias picked up. Actually, Elias picked up the cello. And he hits Jackson Riker with it. And Corey Graves goes, who's that famous celloist? Yo mama? guy's like, no, it's Yo-Yo Ma. I just thought, I don't know, it's so stupid, but I thought that was really funny. Elias is bleeding from his forehead. And basically what happens is Jackson Ryker, from the top rope, from the top turnbuckle, they do a superplex all the way to the outside through two tables. Jackson Ryker wins. I had very low expectations for this match. So this match, I actually enjoyed it. It was very brutal. You know, what they were doing on the piano, lots of nasty shots that Elias took on his back was all sorts of fucked up. And the finish was good. What did you think?
It was good. You could tell they really, not the crowd. You could tell though the people in the back really like Ryker. Like they really want to do something with him.
Yeah, not the crowd, but somebody.
The crowd had no reaction when he came out.
Somebody really likes Jackson Ryker. Somebody like loves Jackson Ryker, and as soon as they see him, they're like, "This guy's a good guy."
I would have personally, I would have had I would have had fucking Elias win. I don't see anything in Jackson Ryker, and I think if they try to push him as like legit, like if they try to like push him as a main event player, I think the crowd's gonna shit on it.
Jackson Ryker?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then again, there might not be a crowd in a few months. So
yeah. I think this did a lot for him though.
I still think there's a lot. I still think you can get a lot out of Elias. Especially now the crowd.
I think so too. But I don't think they believe him anymore. I think this match, after the match, I think people who were there at least, they were, I think, very entertained by this match. Especially the ending.
It got good towards the middle.
Yeah. And I think,
I don't see Jackson Ryker going anywhere, but apparently someone does. So we're going to have to endure him.
Yeah. We go to the back and Adam Pearce is with Sonya Deville and they were Mansoor, and then Mustafa Ali comes out and they go, "Hey, Mansoor and Ali, you guys can be tagging next week." And Ali's like, "What? Why am I tagging on?" So they're going to do another makeshift tag team of these guys can't get along, but somehow
they win it all. This is every tag team now.
Every tag team except for the Viking Raiders.
If you're a tag team that gets along, you're not going to win anything.
You have to not get along. Yes.
Yeah.
Then Sheamus comes out and he's mad. He's got to face Humberto Carrillo again, who broke his nose. That's why he's wearing a steel like face mask thing. Then it is time for Charlotte's coronation because she won the Raw Women's title last night on Money in the Bank. And this is going to start off our second hour. Lots of Becky chants. Charlotte does acknowledge it. Rhea Ripley comes out. And Charlotte goes, "I'm the 11-time champion, and I don't want to fight you anymore because you already lost. I already beat you last night." Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville come out, and they go, "You're going to have a rematch tonight." And then Charlotte kicks Rhea's knee because her knee's all bad. And then Charlotte walks away. I mean, what did you think? She's embracing her heel status now.
I know, but I still think Charlotte and Rhea kind of, I don't know. I just think they have good matches, but I'm just, this storyline sucks. I wasn't too, I thought Becky was going to come out. And
yeah, dude, I'm actually glad Becky didn't come out
tonight. Well, at the end of the night, I wasn't. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But this segment, I didn't like it that much. This is when I started losing interest in the show.
Really? I was thinking it starts picking up after this. We're going to go to our third match, and we actually get to this match while it's in progression, while it's already happening. It is Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax versus Natalya and Tamina. Nia Jax is a new hairdo, which is very curly. Finish comes when, because of Reginald Thomas's distraction, Shayna Baszler gets super kicked by Tamina for Tamina and Natalya to retain their women's tag team titles. Afterwards, Shayna's like, "This guy, Reggie, he's causing all sorts of problems. We got to get rid of him." Nia Jax headbutts Reggie, signifying that she no longer wants this guy around. They walk away. Reggie's sitting in the ring all sad. And all of a sudden, the 24/7 goons all come out. Tozawa runs into the ring and Reggie does some flipping and flip-flam stuff and he flips over and he pins Tozawa, and now Reginald is now the 24/7 champion. He flips his way of evading everybody and then runs away. I thought this was actually pretty interesting with they doing the 24/7 title, putting it on him. It was a nice transition. Good transition.
I fucking hated it. This everything about Nia and Shayna and everything about these four women in a tag match just smells of the Thunderdome to me. And fucking, I hate it. And this whole thing felt like this was a Thunderdome segment from like 4 months ago, and they just threw it on this episode of Raw. I fucking hated this segment. It was just boring. I
like the Reggie part.
I gotta say that these two tag teams are so fucking boring to me. It's just death when these four women come on at this point. It's just death.
You know what I say a lot now because of you.
Right.
Stinks of failure.
These four women stink of failure.
To stink the stench of failure.
Once Shayna Baszler got beat up by Alexa Bliss, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with her.
I always say stink of failure and stench of failure. I always say those neither.
That's what this whole segment had. I fucking hate it.
The stench of failure was. But what did you think about the Reggie just like getting the 24/7? I thought that was.
I think the cool thing about Reggie getting this belt is he's going to do a lot of like parkour stuff to avoid the other wrestlers.
This, you know what this reminded me of? When I was watching this, I was like, this would have been Leo Rush's spot.
Yeah.
Like this, like if Leo Rush was staying in the company, this would have been his role.
By the way, I loved that there was no Ricochet follow-up after he like stole the show last night.
Yeah. He wasn't even on. Ricochet is back to main event.
I just realized Ricochet's not even on this show. But.
He might have been injured. He might have been like, oh, man, dude, I'm too sore. And they're like, well, if we can't wrestle, to get the fuck out.
People loved him last night.
Yeah, yeah. But he ain't going anywhere. No. We're going to go to match number four, Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo. They show Damian Priest watching in the back. This is a very competitive match, back and forth. Ultimately, the ending was kind of bogus to me, but Sheamus headbutts Humberto he's got a steel mask on. He headbutts Humberto Carrillo, and then he hits him with a bro kick for the win. This is all blatant, like right in front of referee. Ref doesn't call anything. I don't know how that's legal, but it's legal. Sheamus wins, but it was competitive, so I enjoyed it. It was all right.
I fucking hated this too. Dude, it's been the same match for weeks now. I fucking hated this. Why repeat the same thing that was boring in an empty building with in front of people? I fucking hated this.
So the past few Raws, like I guess when was the last time we reviewed Raw?
I reviewed Raw with Dan St. Germain on his podcast. I got paid $20, bro. It was fucking great. But I reviewed it last week.
But I haven't been. So when the last time we reviewed Raw was like a while ago, right?
This match happened a week ago.
Okay. Well, my point is, I've been just watching Raw fast forward. So to me, this is like a brand. If it didn't grab my attention, I just fast forward through it. So to me, this was like a fresh. I was like, oh, yeah. I don't think I've seen this
match. These guys have wrestled a million times.
I believe you. Yeah. To me, it was all right. I think it's the blow off. I think this was it. I don't think Kim Burton.
I'm fucking sick of this. They're going to be wrestling next week. Watch. I mean, I won't be watching. Yeah. Hopefully, I'll be at the comic strip and watch.
I did enjoy Sheamus's, I enjoyed his like, because you know those like when you come out the entrance with the fucking whole beer sign that said like fight Donnybrook Way and Fight Club or whatever that stuff, Fight Night and stuff. I liked all those neon things they had for him. That was pretty cool.
That was nice. Yeah, whatever.
All right, match number five. It is Bobby Lashley, and it's a Bobby Lashley open challenge. So anybody come out to face him. MVP and Bobby Lashley take turns shitting on Kofi Kingston. And he goes, just like Kofi says, no more bullshit. I'm like, all right, this is no longer a PG show. This is the second time they're cursing. And they didn't mute this one. You heard him say bullshit. I guess it's not a curse anymore. I have no idea. So I was like, I wonder who's going to come out. I was thinking it was going to be like Braun Strowman or some shit like that. It ends up being Keith Lee, who has not been seen since January.
Mm-hmm.
So he's back. And they're going to start wrestling through the start of the third hour. back and forth, but ultimately Lashley hits him with a spear for the win. After Lashley wins, Goldberg comes out, and Goldberg says, "I'm next." And then MVP goes, "Oh, no. Not now, money. Afterwards, when you come back from commercial break, MVP and Lashley are walking down the hall. They question him, and they go, "We got no response from him." What did you think about this matchup with Keith Lee and what happens afterwards?
I thought it was fucking horrendously stupid to beat Keith Lee after all this. I thought it was fucking horrible. I thought it was retarded. There was no reason to beat him. I don't think they see anything in him, though. After tonight,
I don't think they see anything in him.
I think the ship has sailed. The ship sailed. Goldberg got a huge pop, and I love that because it pisses off the internet so fucking much. But fans still like Goldberg, and it was nice to see him. I still like Goldberg. But all in all, you know, if you were going to have him beat somebody to set up Goldberg, I would have had to be Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods pinned him a week ago. Bobby Lashley.
If it was like an open challenge, I felt like someone was going to come in. If it was going to be like,
yeah, Ricochet, but then you don't beat Keith Lee. I don't know. It's just so I just think it's like there is money in Keith Lee, whether they believe it or not. But I don't think they believe it.
I don't think they believe it either. Yeah.
I have a bigger rant coming about NXT in a minute. But I half hated it, half liked it.
Yeah. I think they just did it for the pop because like they were like, we got this guy in the payroll, so might as well just put him on and get the pop.
But I think he is back, though. I think he is back. We'll see.
Yeah, but I think something is up with Keith Lee for him to have been gone for so long, right?
And then they bring him back and he loses.
Yeah, and then he brings them in. Something is up. Something is not on the – something is
– They might have said lose weight, and he's not losing weight. That's kind of how they lost faith in Vader and Yokozuna.
Yeah, it could be the weight thing. I also read that it could also be his name.
Why is that?
I think they wanted to get the rights to his name, and he won't let them.
Well, then just change his name to Lovey Bob or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that could be a rumor. It could be a number of things, but I think something is. It's not a coincidence that he just bring him back after such a long absence and he loses right away. You know?
Yeah. Well,
something is up. Yeah.
Something's up. Something's up with the whole company, but I'm gonna have a big rant. Let's keep going because I have a big rant.
Yeah. Now the next thing I actually really enjoyed, Jinder's out with his group. It is Shanky and Veer, formerly of Indu Shear. Do you remember Indu Shear? They were like the Indian AOP.
Yeah, now it's just one of
them. That one guy who was in that, there was two guys in the group. One of them was the guy who actually revealed Keith Lee winning the NXT title before it was supposed to air. You remember that guy? Mm-hmm. They basically sent that guy back to India and said, "We don't need you anymore." And then they put the other guy in this tag team in Jinder's group. Jinder's got a lot more confidence. I think now that he won the belt, he's just like, "I don't give a fuck what I'm going to do. I don't got anything to prove." And he's very he was very believable in his role tonight. And he goes, "It's my birthday, man. It's my birthday. And Shanky's going to sing me a happy birthday. Everybody's got to listen." And the tall guy, he starts singing. I thought it was hilarious, him singing happy birthday. And people are like booing. They're really mad. They don't want to hear this guy sing. Drew McIntyre comes in, hits Jinder with the chair. Jinder goes down. Then he hits Veer with the chair. Veer goes down. Shanky, the tall guy who was singing, was like, "Come on, man. Don't do this. He starts beating the crap out of this guy with a chair. Chair shot after chair shot after chair shot. The chair's all bent and broken. Shanky is bleeding from somewhere. There's a little bit of blood. Fans start chanting one more time. So Drew goes back out, gets another chair, and hits him the total of 20 chair shots in a row for the second chair. So this guy, Shanky, he got hit with, I want to say, at least maybe 35 chair shots in one fucking sitting. This guy's a trooper because these weren't like baby chair shots. These were some hard chair shots. Mm-hmm. That was very enjoyable. Very enjoyable, I thought.
I didn't like it at all. I thought it was stupid. I'm sorry. It was just dumb.
You didn't like Shanky singing happy birthday?
No. I also think that the one thing they made a decision of post Thunderdome is that they're moving Drew down the card. because
I think he's kind of moving down. Like, well, not too far down. I just don't. They don't think they want him to see him in the main event picture for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's still got a pretty dominant role, you know. Like, beating the crap out of somebody real bad. He got a good pop. He got a good pop when he showed up.
He got, I thought he got booed last night. But, but I don't know. I hated this segment. I thought it was just a segment from a few months ago. And they put, I just feel like they should have, done more to, be like, this is a new era. And, instead it's, same shit.
Maybe it's because
they know they're going to be.
Yeah, Junior knows this is temporary.
Yeah. That's kind of what I, as this show ended, that's kind of what I felt like. They know this is temporary.
Yeah. All right. We're going to come to the part where I think you're going to have a problem with. We get a really cool video package of Karrion Kross just beating the crap out of people in NXT, just beating body after body, just beating them up. And he's like, TikTok, it's doomsday or whatever. And I'm like, oh, crap, this guy's going to show up on Raw one day. No, right away, right after the package, he's there with the title, the NXT title. I was like, oh, crap, they're bringing him in now. I was like, all right. By the way, I knew he was going to come to Raw any minute now because that's why they changed Nikki Cross's name to Ash. They were like, oh, this is happening. So they're like, he's going to fight Jeff Hardy. This is going to be match 6, Karrion Kross versus Jeff Hardy. I'm like, all right, well, let's see what happens. I think everybody was thinking, Karrion Kross is going to kill Jeff Hardy, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy puts his feet on the ropes and beats Karrion Kross. The crowd pops for this because nobody's expecting Jeff Hardy to beat this guy. Jeff Hardy beats this guy. Afterwards,
who's still the NXT champion, by the way?
He's NXT champion, by the way. This guy is NXT champion. Jeff Hardy has been on the
losing.
On a losing streak. Been wrestling on main event, and they had this guy beat Karrion Kross. They interviewed Karrion Kross right as soon as it's over.
And they're like, man, and they talk about, hey, it has to be a loser.
Yeah, how do you feel about losing your debut match on Raw? Like, oh my God, dude. Like he looked like the biggest bitch, and he goes, Jeff Hardy made the biggest mistake of his life. Like, no, buddy, you made the biggest mistake of your life. Decided to say, agree to come to Raw. This proved to me, without a shadow of a doubt, Junior hates NXT. He fucking hates NXT.
Dude. Okay, first of all, I was so happy this fucking idiot lost. I was so
excited. I won't lie to you.
This was the one moment of the night I jumped out of my chair and went, yes, when he lost. Because I think this guy is fucking garbage, okay? I think this guy's fucking garbage. I think Scarlett, notice they didn't have Scarlett out with him.
No Scarlett.
I predicted this the moment they debuted when we were doing the podcast a year ago. Scarlett, Vince has plans for Scarlett, big plans, and doesn't involve this fucking goof. That's why she wasn't out with him. He's saving her. Vince met her and was like, because I knew Scarlett was money even TNA. She's going to be protected. He's going to outdo Mark Marrow in having his career ruined. I think it was the right call to beat him. I think he's a fucking doofus. I don't think there's any future in him. This is my problem, though. This is my whole problem. This is the big problem. What the fuck is the point of NXT? And what is the fuck is the point of this fucking guy beating everyone and fucking having these long fucking matches if you're going to drag him to Raw? By the way, later on, they had a commercial where it was like Karrion Kross beat up Johnny Gargano and Samoa Joe. What's going to happen tomorrow night? I'll tell you what should happen tomorrow night. Samoa Joe should fucking squash Karrion Kross in the opening minute, win the belt, and send Karrion Kross throw him out of the fucking building. That's how it should. There is, you can't have NXT tomorrow night where Karrion Kross is still acting like a badass. You can't.
No.
It's just going to make the whole fucking show look stupid.
I thought basically when this match was first starting, I was like, oh, wow. Maybe they're going to start taking NXT seriously. They're going to be like, this is the champ of NXT and look him kill a former champion like Jeff Hardy. That's what I thought. And then we're like, you got to tune in to watch NXT to see this guy kill more people. But no, if anything, this thing totally, it proved my original thought. Junior hates NXT and he's trying to send a message to Triple H or and whoever else is involved. I don't know who the message is. You guys are garbage.
Because the message. So then they need to change NXT because fucking Karrion Kross and Finn Balor were at WrestleMania weekend wrestled a 30-minute fucking classic. Not a classic. That's exaggerating. I'm sorry. A 30-minute fucking like balls to the wall match. Instead, they should be wrestling a fucking goofy TV match because nothing that NXT is doing is getting these guys ready for the main roster. These guys fucking wrestle like they're Triple H in 2000 across the board, whether you're Gargano or Matt Riddle or Keith Lee. Then they show up to this show who are like fucking idiots, including Doudrop. So it's like you need to, like, dude, like this whole, like, I get sending a message, but like you're ruining this company. Like it's on USA. You own the company. What are you doing?
That's the weirdest part. That's the weirdest part. Like,
yeah.
Like he's like, you know what it's like? You ever see like a dog bite its own leg?
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, that's your leg, dude. What are you doing? Like, do you know, like
it makes no sense. Let's say like fucking he wants Karrion Kross to lose horribly to Jeff Hardy, right? Let's say he didn't want this. So then you're hurting your own, it's on USA. It's on the same network.
You own, not only do you own NXT, you also own the name Karrion Kross. Like you own all this, it's yours.
So why wouldn't you just have Karrion Kross lose to Gargano last week and then come in, make him look like a goof, and then get rid of him? Because I think that's what they're going to do. Make this guy look like a goof and then fire him.
Yeah. I mean, he basically shut on all of NXT tonight. All of it.
Well,
he
if I was Triple H, I'm like, bro.
Junior took a huge dump on him.
Dude, if I'm Triple H, I'm like, bro, tell me that this is what you wanted to do with this guy. Because I would have had this guy lose the belt like last week. He's got to lose the belt tomorrow.
I bet you Triple H does not have the balls to go to Junior and be like, bro, do we have a problem? Like that's because I would do that. I would go up to him and be like, do we have a problem? Like, what's the problem? I would be like, what is the fucking problem?
Because I'll say this. Even if next week Karrion Kross destroys Jeff Hardy and then they have a match at SummerSlam and Karrion Kross beats him, you've already damaged. It's already done. Yeah. Like, you've already ruined Karrion Kross. It doesn't matter if he wins the feud. Short of him, like, retiring Jeff Hardy and going to AEW and retiring Matt Hardy and then coming back, like, there's nothing much you can do. I don't care if he wins the feud with Jeff Hardy. And I don't think he should. I think Jeff Hardy should win the fucking feud. I think there's more of a future. I think there's more of a future over the next 10 years with Jeff Hardy than Karrion Kross. When Karrion Kross came out to the ring without Scarlett jumping around and screaming in the smoke, he looks like a fucking jobber. There's nothing special about this guy.
I mean, I like his intensity. I won't say that there's nothing appealing about this guy, but I will say they did not do. Oh, man, they buried the whole brand. They basically.
I think Vince sees nothing in Karrion Kross. I think
Vince 100% sees nothing. He sees nothing in anything that comes out of NXT.
But can I be honest with you? I don't see anyone right now, as it stands in NXT, that if you said, listen, the WWE is going out of business unless you make someone that's on NXT right now the next big thing. There's nobody. There's not a woman. There's not a man. There's nobody right now on NXT that could ascend to a major level. It's just it's. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. It's just. I think MSK could be like the next Hardy Boys. That's about it. I don't know. I don't see anyone that could like go to the next level in that brand. That's a bad thing.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Well, to be determined.
I think Raquel Gonzalez. I see everyone right now that's in a prime position on that show being brought up to the main roster and made to look like a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People are saying that Cameron Grimes is prime, ready for the main roster. I'm like, no, don't send him there. They'll chew him up and they'll spit him out.
But here's the deal. Rather than... This is what I would say to this fucking company. Even though I died laughing, I was dying laughing for the wrong reasons, okay? I loved it though. Don't get me wrong. I thought this is my favorite segment of the night, by the way, because I just fucking I just loved it because it made no fucking sense. Also, I don't like Karrion Kross. But rather than continue to have these guys wrestle like they're in Ring of Honor, and they're bring them to the main roster, make them look like fucking idiots, why don't you retool NXT to be like Raw and SmackDown? So these guys are already doing what Vince wants before they get to the main show, because it's really it's not good that these guys come to the main show and look this fucking stupid.
I wonder if that's what Junior wants, but because they're not giving that to him, he's treating NXT like a shit.
And the only reason that I say is because I don't think it's fair to the athletes for them to be having these hard hitting matches all the time, because they're hurting themselves when they have these hard hitting.
Yeah. No, and I think probably that's what Junior wants. I think he looks at NXT and he goes, I don't understand what's happening here. I thought this was supposed to be developmental for getting these guys ready for the main roster. And I think Triple H is like, we are getting ready for main roster. We're getting him exposure and trying to learn where the cameras are. And he goes, and I bet you Junior's like, no, they're not. They're not getting ready for us. They're doing this fucking style that I don't want them to wrestle in. I want him
But that's true.
I think that's the argument, and I think Triple H is going like, you don't understand. I think everything's changing, and I think Junior goes, oh, okay, all right. Well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make your brand look like shit then, and I think that's why he's constantly making it.
You know who I heard is a shit on NXT, and I believe it, and I think he has Vince's ear. I think Bruce Pritchard like just said NXT is a waste of time.
I can see that. I can 100%.
But it's true because Vince wants Kamalas and Doinks.
Yes.
And fucking to a lesser extent, Diesels.
Yeah.
And he's giving them lesser Eddie Guerreros and Alex Wrights. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not wrestling the Vince style.
No, he wants larger than life characters.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the world's greatest wrestler. You know why? Because they're even getting away from the, because he doesn't like the term wrestler. He's not looking for a wrestler. He's looking for a superstar.
Like and Timothy Thatcher. Sorry. What the fuck is Timothy?
You got like your tooth fall out?
No, popcorn kernel.
What
the fuck is Timothy Thatcher going to do on the main roster? Like what can Vince do with that character? Like all these things about, even on NXT, I'm a great wrestler. Every character is a great wrestler. And that's fine. I don't mind. I love the show. But it's not what Vince or Bruce or any of these guys are looking for. And I don't think people understand the disconnect there. Like, there's a disconnect, and it needs to be fixed because you're just hurting these guys. Like, this fucking – I don't like Karrion Kross, but this isn't his fault. Like, you know, no. He was doing what Triple H told him to. They need to fix this because this was not a good look.
No.
I loved it, but it's not a good look. I think Karrion Kross is done. I think he's done. I don't think you can save him. But I also think NXT is done after tonight. I'm sorry.
I don't know what you need to do with NXT. I really don't know.
You need to change it to make it more like Raw. I would change it. You know what? If you want to like have it, I would make it more like the old Raws, or I would make it more like the 90s style, like more laid back. I don't know. Like, you need to change it.
Yeah,
it can't.
Possible.
It can't be Ring of Honor AEW light. It can't be like that anymore. That's not what Vince wants. Unless you're gonna fucking, dude. He didn't even, dude. You understand? He signed Booker T, and Booker T didn't lose for like a long time. Booker T was the champion of WCW. Booker T didn't look like an idiot this fast. Okay, like Taz when he had the ECW belt didn't look this stupid this fast. Like, and you're like, dude. He has no respect for NXT. He has no.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. All right. Hopefully, this is a wake up call for Triple H to just be like, you know what?
Change the fucking show.
Just change the fucking show. Yeah, I think.
I like it, but it's not.
I agree with you. I think it's gonna make the quality of the show be worse. But NXT is not for us. That's the point. It's for Junior.
But here's the deal: it's gonna make the match quality is gonna go down. But I think it's gonna be better for the wrestlers. It's gonna be better for their careers because
I think it's gonna be. I agree. It's gonna be, worse product, but it's gonna be better for the wrestlers financially and physically.
Adam Cole is wrestling like Kenny Omega light. When
Adam Cole Everyone keeps saying he needs to go to the main roster. I'm like, I disagree.
What I'm saying about Adam Cole, there's no reason for Adam Cole to and Johnny Gargano to be going this hard when they're probably going to wind up in the 24/7 division.
Yeah, 24/7.
Okay? Like, you need to adjust it. Make Adam Cole more of a character. Make Johnny Gargano. I think they should just get rid of Johnny Gargano. I don't know. They got to have care. You know what, though? I'm kind of interested in NXT tomorrow. I do think you need to have Karrion Kross lose the belt tomorrow. I'm sorry. He needs to lose the belt tomorrow. Move on.
All right. So going to a fun segment to a shitty segment, Alexa Bliss is in the playground. She goes, guess who's back, guys? From timeout. Lily's back, her doll. And then Eva Marie and Doudrop, formerly Piper Niven, they come out. Oh, they made Piper Niven dress like such a slob. I just thought, I was like, why did they make her dress like that? Because she's dressed exactly like Eva Marie. But Eva Marie is like thin and sexy, it's like you're comparing. When you take like a out of shape person and you take a person who's in like, you know, like who's very toned, and then you make them wear the same outfit. You're doing that for a reason. You're doing that purposely to make sure that they're compared against each other. And they're, you know, they shit on Lily. Eva Marie trips over and it's like, oh, she tripped because of Lily. Stupid segment. Fucking dumb. I hated this segment.
I hate everything with Alexa Bliss. I didn't see it, but people told me she got a massive pop at Money in the Bank last night.
I can believe that. I didn't watch it either, but I believe that.
She's over. I watched the Edge match, by the way. That was good. She's over with the crust. They're going to keep using her. I don't get it. I think it's all people that want to fuck kids or that weird fetish thing.
No. I disagree. I know she's over, but I don't think she's over for that reason. I think I know why she's over.
Right.
So Dave Meltzer once said that Undertaker was garbage in the 90s. He was like, oh, you know, shitting on it was so stupid. But all the kids.
Oh, you've said this before. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is
true. I think she appeals to adults as well as kids, as not just kids.
Maybe some adults, but like
I think like I think goth adults like her.
Yeah, maybe goth adults. You and me, we can't stand her. I think we're the majority of adults. But I think if you have kids and they're like, I really like this Alexa Bliss, it's so scary.
I think not just kids. I think teenagers. I think it's more like a teenager thing.
Kids in general, non-adults, not minors. Minors.
I think people that hate women like her a lot.
Yeah. And also if you're a dad and you got a kid who's into this stuff, who's cheering for Alexa Bliss, what are you going to be like? You're fucking stupid. This is stupid. You're not going to just go like, yeah, Alexa Bliss. Yeah. She's scary. Right. You just kind of go along with it. You got to cheer with your kids. Dude, she is going to be looked at fondly in like 15 years from now, the same way Undertaker was looked at fondly, like in our generation. That's just what it is. That.
But I do think there's going to be a lot of fun. I think there was fun. Dude, if she had retired a year ago before this even started, they would have been fine. People do love her. They would have been fondness for her even if she never did this. So,
no, but I mean like this goth character, this fucking demon fuck character.
We'll see. All I know is Bray Wyatt pissed off someone too. Jesus.
Yeah. I think it's stupid, but I'm not a minor. So if you're a kid and you're into it.
But I think the Fiend was way better than this character, but whatever.
Yeah. This is really built for them. It's not really built for us. I'm like, whatever. It's fine. Final segment, match number 7, the rematch, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. The story of this match is Rhea's got a bum knee and Charlotte keeps working on it. Charlotte's like losing, so she hits Rhea with the belt, causes a DQ. Charlotte's like, I lost, but I'm still the champion. Rhea keeps attacking her to keep fighting. They're slamming into the boards, and then Nikki Ash, aspiring superhero, her music hits. Rhea throws Charlotte in. Nikki cashes in, jumps over, does like a top rope splash, pins Charlotte and wins the Raw Women's title. Nikki Ash is your new Women's Champion. I heard this match last night, Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, was really, really good. It was whatever it was tonight.
It wasn't that good tonight.
No, it wasn't. But I don't think it was supposed to be good. It was supposed to end in a DQ. So, one thing, even though I did like the cash-in, one thing after when the cash-in happened, I was like, they when I think because this was the first night back with all the fans, like Raw, they put out all the stops. Like they had so many, like Goldberg came out, Keith Lee returned, Nikki Ash, like cashed in, John Cena. They did everything all at once. I feel like they didn't save anything for the following.
Well, no, they're saving Becky Lynch. That's what they're saving.
Yeah, that's good. That's one of the reasons why I was like,
so I really thought it was going to end with Becky Lynch. I thought it was going to end with Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, too, and I was going to say, like, but that's the only thing they saved. Mm-hmm. Unless like even Karrion Kross came out, and I was like, they did everything tonight.
Let me tell you something. There was a clear message tonight. And if you fans don't understand this message, they're fucking idiots. There was a clear message tonight that Karrion Kross and Keith Lee losing, and this show ending with Nikki Ash, the champion. And the fucking message was...
This is not Nikki Cross, guys. This is not NXT Nikki Cross. This is
Nikki Ash.
This is Nikki Ash. This is Vince... Nikki Cross in Vince McMahon's...
It was her idea. And her, you know... This was all her idea, by the way. Nikki Ash.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But it's an idea that Vince likes.
This is Vince like all in his image, yeah.
This was the message. We do things my way, motherfucker. Yes. We do things my way.
We do things Junior's way.
She is doing it my way. She's doing everything I told her to do because she's doing that stupid dance, and she's gonna get fucking rewarded. She went from looking like an idiot in the Alexa Bliss storyline to not only winning the Money in the Bank, but then she pinned Charlotte Flair. You do things my way, you fucking get rewarded. That's basically. And when
Yeah, if you're trying to chase after Dave Meltzer's 5 stars, when you come to the main roster, you're going to get fucking shitted on. Don't fucking do that. That's not what your job is. Your job is to be like Nikki Ash. That's your job.
Yeah. That was a message. This whole Raw, it's so weird, like some of it, but this whole Raw was a message to everyone, to all of us.
If you don't get it, if you work in that company and you don't fucking get this, you're a fucking idiot.
Dude,
I don't. I love you're it. Fucking like, idiot. Triple H is a fucking idiot if he doesn't understand it.
There were fans who were like, her career's over when she became Nikki Ash, and they're still saying it. It's like, bro, she won Money in the Bank and she won the fucking title. At what point do you realize, like, oh, you know what? This was the right move for her to do.
And she's got a pop. Nobody booed when this happened.
Nobody booed.
Nobody booed. People were fucking into this. Yeah. Dude, what can I say? First off, people were saying like, oh, they fucking did this to her. I was like, she's not the first female superhero they had, first off. Like, they had Mighty Molly.
It was her idea.
Yeah. How can you say Mighty Molly is okay, like a fun idea, but Nikki Ash is a bad idea? Like,
because they want her to be like, they want her to be like all God. But,
People need to understand something. Everything in NXT is like, it doesn't matter. It's like an alternate universe. It doesn't fucking matter what happens there. It's not in continuity.
Dude, she could have fucking. Do you know what I heard today? That Vince had a meeting with Peyton Royce, and like I think it was a meeting like what can we, you know, how can we make you a star? This was like before she like I don't know, like in January or something. And she said in the meeting, "I'm boring." Who the fuck says that in a meeting with Vince?
She said what?
I'm actually a pretty boring person.
Dude, why would you fucking say that?
Yeah, and then you wonder why you got. But Nikki Cross, I guarantee you, she got a meeting and she was like all animated. And I could be a superhero. I could fly. And then Vince probably got into it. Yeah, we'll give you a cape. Oh, I love capes. We'll give you a mask. Oh yeah.
It's the same thing with the Lucha House Party, where supposedly that was Lindsay Dorado's idea, and he was like, and the reason why he pitched it was because he was like, I know in this motherfucker's mind, I'm just a dirty Mexican, right? Like I'm just a goofy fucking Mexican, and I just got to do this fucking thing, and just like, I'm a fucking joke, I'm a fucking, ooh, piñatas, all the fucking stereotypical thing, and this guy will I will have a job with this guy. While Kalisto was like, no, man, I want to be like one of the best fucking wrestlers here. Who's fucking not with the company anymore? Kalisto is not with the fucking.
Yeah,
you just gotta go to the lowest common denominator. If I was working in WWE as a wrestler, and I would looked at it like, man, I really don't want to leave this place because the paycheck's so good, I would pitch like one of the most stereotypical Asian characters to him, like as a gimmick, I'll be like, Junior, what if?
Like, what if I started selling
what if I become a no, I can't say ninja because Tozawa is already a ninja. Dude, this is why Tozawa still has a job, by the way. They fired all the fucking Tozawa gets more dude. Ricochet wasn't even on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Do you guys people have to understand this? He was, I don't give a fuck how many flips he does. It doesn't fucking matter, dude. Because flip being the flippy guy is not a money getting gimmick for Junior. Mm-hmm. It's this guy's a fucking ninja. Do you realize Tozawa could be like, no, I'm not fucking wearing this ninja outfit and it's stereotypical fucking thing that's really offensive to my culture? Tozawa could have said that easily. But you know what Tozawa said? Boy, I sure love making this money. Right? Yeah. And he gets on Raw way more than Ricochet.
Here's the other thing. Like Nikki A.S.H., all anyone talked about now for like a month has been Nikki A.S.H. Who the fuck have you ever heard someone talk about Ilya Dragunov? You know what I mean? Has anyone talked about fucking Tyler Bate? Has anyone talked about like fucking Noam?
Hey, who was in the Old Spice commercials? Was it Ricochet? No, it was Tozawa. You guys can say it's fucking offensive, but dude, when you work for that company, you just got to go for the lowest common denominator. Yeah. You just got to go for that, like, the dude, he's not, until he's dead, when he dies, maybe you could just change everything you do. But
no, I think I think Bruce Prichard is back to make sure.
Yeah, that I think Junior is living forever. If you're working there, just pitch like the fucking most ridiculous things. Just pitch. Don't be, I'm the best wrestler. Don't do that shit. Do, what if I discover my ancestral pirate roots? You know, like, I don't know.
You know what? Karrion Kross should be a.
What should Karrion Kross gimmick be that could save him? Like, he needs a gimmick.
You know what, with Vince?
Taxidermist.
I'll tell you what it should be. It should be a guy who always loses and he gets jealous of Scarlett and he and Scarlett and him have a feud. He's going to have
What if it's a guy who works in a morgue and he secretly like loves being around dead bodies? Like he loves touching. That's why
That's too much. That's too much. Okay. Yeah. No, you can't do that now.
Okay.
I would make it be he gets bumped on the head and he thinks like, he's like an actual barbarian from another dimension. Like he thinks he's Conan. Like he thinks he's like he runs around with a sword, and then him and Drew feud over who has the real sword.
No, you know what I would do? I would say this: he loses the NXT title, and then all these losses starts making him like change who he is. He goes to see a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist goes, "Your problem was you were too hateful. You need to be reverse that. You need to be a caring person." So he changes his name to Karrion Kross, and he's a guy who's like super friendly.
You know, he becomes the clock king. He goes tick tock, and he like has a suit with all clock imagery.
Oh yeah,
and he has a time limit in all his matches, so he's like, I could defeat anyone under 10 minutes because he's the clock king. He's always in.
Yeah. Change his name to Karrion Clock or something. Karrion Clock,
right? Yeah, because he likes to go TikTok.
Yeah. So. He gets obsessed with time. So I'm like, do you guys, like, I know this is stupid, but these are the gimmicks that's gonna
the New Year's Eve episode of Raw, he shows up dressed like Father Time with a beard and everything. And then like when it's midnight, he takes off and he's like in a diaper and he's like, oh, it's the New Year, TikTok, I'm the clock guy.
I think Nikki A.S.H. is what Junior wanted Ricochet to be, more like.
Well, I think that's what he wanted Neville to be. Neville was supposed to dress up like a superhero.
Yeah. He really likes superheroes. I think, you know why? He's trying to recreate.
No. He wanted a Mighty Mouse.
No.
He always wanted a Mighty Mouse
character. I think he's always trying to recreate the success he had with the Hurricane. Because Hurricane made a lot of money. He made a lot of money for a company.
But if you listen to something to wrestle, he wanted someone to be Mighty Mouse.
No, I understand that. But I think the reason why he's always trying to go for a superhero guy is because he knows you can make a lot of money with it.
Well, but the other thing too is What if they try? What if they actually monetize Nikki Ash and make a cartoon series?
That's possible. I think they could make, like, supposedly, like Hurricane said, he made a crap load of money from merchandise alone when he was the Hurricane. He said, dude, I made so much money on merchandise because that shit sells. That superhero shit sells. You can sell capes. You can sell the fucking masks, the t-shirts. So he's always, I think, like, they know, like, oh, if there's a fucking superhero character, this guy, he's always just going to make money. Like, whether it be, Nikki Ash is going to make a shitload of money. Because think about all the stuff they could sell. Nikki Ash masks, Nikki Ash capes, Nikki Ash shirts. It's just like, that's why he's, I think, you know, he always, like, you know, Ricochet never embraced that superhero character. He was just always like, they would call him like Spider-Man, he's a superhero, but he never did anything like to act like a superhero. And I think that's what Junior kind of got mad at. Like, he wanted him to take the ball and really run with it. But this Ricochet was more like, no, I'm just the best.
Well, wrestler. You know, they don't have any Nikki Ash. Dude, they don't have any Nikki Ash merchandise up yet. I just took a look.
Oh, dude, it's coming. Oh, it's coming.
It better. They got to.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming, tonight. Dude. It's probably going to start tonight, dude. It's coming. You know, well, they're all about making money at the end.
I do think, though, I'm glad she won the title. You know what? She deserved it. And whether you like the gimmick or not, I don't know how anyone who's a fan of this company or this show or the wrestlers can be upset that Nikki Cross, Ash, what the fuck you want to call her, has the belt. I think she deserved it, and I'm glad she got it. So, the end.
You know what?
If people bitch and moan that she got the belt, then go fuck themselves. I'm sorry. Like,
they should rehire her husband and make him like her sidekick. But like, give him some dumpy-ass name. That'd be good. like Harry Man or some shit like that.
They should make Scarlett her supervillain.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Yeah. Anyways, that was Raw. I thought it was enjoyable.
I can't believe we made it to the return of crowds. I really can't. Like, and the COVID's still not over.
COVID's not over. Yeah, people, the pandemic's not over. We're talking like it's over, but I'm as guilty as that. But
no, but I just can't believe that, like, the COVID is still bad, but yet the crowds are back. It's just,
what if I know people? There was a shitload of people there tonight. A shitload. Yeah, and it's in Texas. I don't know how many people will get vaccinated.
We'll be back in Thunderdome by November. All right. Andrew Lee, bro. See you. I don't know when, but we'll figure it out. All right.
We'll figure it out. Have a good night, guys.